welcome to the Glacier Valley Church of God podcast. It is our hope that through these messages you are blessed, you are encouraged, you are uplifted. If you ever need us to pray for you, contact us at 789-3605. God bless you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Commit. And we're approaching the season when we pay close attention to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Even through his death, Jesus teaches us about our everyday lives. We're going to read from Luke chapter 23, verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Let's have prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you for everyone that has come out here today to join our hearts in worship to you. We thank you, Lord, for the determined effort each one made to be here today. Lord, and I know that you have special blessing for everybody that's here. We're just praying now that through this word and through the worship that we've already experienced, Lord, that our lives will be lifted into a higher state of blessing and enrichment. And I just pray that you'd use this word today to be a blessing to someone who's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word that Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." That word "commit" in this context means to give over, to entrust with. So Jesus is saying to his Father, "Father, I give over my spirit to you." He had taken on the sins of the whole world. He had been accused falsely. He had been beaten. He had been cursed. He had been spit upon. He carried a heavy cross with his bruised, beaten body. His beard had been plucked, a crown of thorns pressed on his head. He was nailed on that cross, then it was plunged into the ground, and he hung between heaven and earth for 6 hours or more as he was being crucified. The end of his time hanging there, just before he died, he said the words, "First, it is finished. It is finished." In other words, everything he had come to earth to do was complete. But then, here recorded in Luke, he said these words, "Father, in your hands I commit my spirit." Now, this wasn't a sentence that he just gathered up at the last minute. It was a very thought-out sentence that he said there at the end. And to the Jewish people, everybody was very familiar with this expression, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Because every Jewish child, before they would go to bed at night, would kneel and pray. And they would end their prayer with these words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Sort of like the prayer that most of us pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Anybody ever prayed that prayer when you were small? Well, this is a similar thing. When Jesus spoke these words, though, he reveals to us a spiritual truth of what we are to do when we face life's most difficult times. and what we are to do with our circumstances that are too big for us. We have a good Heavenly Father, and we can commit whatever needs to be committed into His hands. This word came to me during the week. I hadn't planned to preach this, but somewhere along the way, the word commit came to me, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, there's going to be somebody there on Sunday that needs to commit something into the Father's hand. You've been carrying it too long. You've been under the burden of it too long. You've been under the pressure for it too long, and today is your day. You're going to commit it into the Father's hands. You're going to commit it into the Father's hands. I'm glad to tell you that our Father's hands can handle everything you want to put into His hands. Everything that you can imagine, any difficulty, any circumstances, any impossibility, He gladly receives into His hand if you're willing to commit it into His hands. Job chapter 12, verse 10 talks about the Father's hand. It says, in whose hand is the life of every living being and the breath of all mankind. So it says here that in His hands, we're all in His hands. You remember the song, He's got the whole world in His hands? Well, He does. And that's the hands that we can commit our needs to the hands of our God that holds everything up with His hands. Isaiah 66 in verse 2, it says, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. So again, showing the power of His hand, it says, by the same hands that you can commit things to are the hands that created everything. The hands that has all power, all ability, all strength. You can trust and commit your needs to His hands. Then in Psalm 139, verse 8 through 10, it says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Praise God. So no matter where you are, you're never far, so far away that you are not in contact with the ability of God's hands to lead you and God's hands to hold you. Then Isaiah 41 in verse 10, oh, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise God. Then Jesus took up the same theme in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Praise God. So he's saying here that you're safe. There is a place of security, and that is in the hands of Jesus and the hands of the Father. He said, and the Father is greater than all. Nobody, no one is able to take you out of the hands of God. Praise God. So we have good hands, don't we? We have hands that are capable, hands that are able, hands that are powerful, that's willing to take from us that we're willing to commit to His hands. Committing into God's hands is really important when we are going through difficult circumstances. Now, it's not that we commit directly the circumstances into God's hand, but it's really during our hard circumstances and difficulties in life, it is a time we have to commit ourselves into the hands of God. Commit ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So it says if you're going through difficult times, if you're suffering, if you're going through things that's really hard, things that you don't understand, things that are bigger than you, things that you have no power over and things that you don't know how to handle, he said there's a place you can go, and that is to place yourself into the hands of the Creator. Praise God. So it's a matter of placing yourself into the hands of the Creator. Many people go through life and they never get to that place where they just completely, totally place themselves into the hands of the Creator. You're saying, Lord, I don't know how to handle these situations. I don't know how to handle these circumstances. I don't know how to handle these impossibilities. I don't know how to deal with these things that I'm up against. But I'm placing myself into your hands. I'm placing myself. In other words, you're saying, God, do with me. Do with me what you want to do. Have your way in my life. Do your purpose and your will in me. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us about Jesus again. It says, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. We're living in vicious days. And Jesus said, in dealing with his disciples, he said, as a disciple, as one of my followers, you're going to come into situations and circumstances where people come against you, where people come against you, where there's things that happen that you are under fire and suffering because people come against you. Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus was given a false trial. They lied about Jesus. They told things that weren't true about him. So it's called being reviled. He said he was reviled but did not revile in return. We're living in such a vicious day. Our first reaction to people when they do us wrong and when they're out to hurt us and when they're out to do us in and they gossip about us is to get even. Well, I'll just go ahead and do whatever I need to do to get back at them. And Jesus said, that's not the way that it needs to be done. He says, I've given you the example because when all of these things happened to me, what I did, he said, is I placed them into the hands of the Father. Praise God. Now, does that mean the people escape consequences? No. Does it mean that people get by with it? No. It just simply means that we're not obligated to take care of it. We're submitting them to God, ourselves to God, and saying, God, I believe that you will take care of it the way it needs to be taken care of, and you will do what needs to be done to make it right. He said he's the just judge. He makes things turn out the way that they need to turn out. We can't do with people what God can do with people. So he says, when you are up against difficulties in life, when it seems like people are coming against you, he said, just put yourself in the covering of God's hands. Praise God. And when you're there, when you're in the hands of God, you are protected. You are under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Then the scripture says we are to commit our way to the Lord. commit our way to the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 5 and 6 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." Now, when it talks about way in this verse of Scripture, these verses of Scripture, he's talking about the life road we travel on, our journey through life. And in our lives, we come to the point when we have to make decisions or choices of which direction to go in certain things that we're confronted with. We make those kinds of choices almost every day. But some of those choices are life-altering. Some of those choices changes everything. We choose to marry a certain person, and that changes everything. Or we choose to have a family, and that changes everything. Or we choose to build a house or buy a house or buy a car or something like that. That changes everything. We make decisions about all kinds of important arenas of our lives. And let me say that none of us are equipped in ourselves to make the kinds of decisions that need to be made. It says, when you come to the intersection, when you have to make a choice, it is a good time for you to say, "God, I'm not capable or able to make this choice. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the direction. I don't even have the wisdom that it takes to make this kind of choice. This is a choice that I need help from you with." And it says, if you commit your path, the journey that you're on to the Lord and trust in Him, it says He will bring it to pass. In other words, that you long for, that He has purposed for you, that He has designed for your life, He says He will bring it to pass. So He says, "I'll make sure you're on the right road. I'm sure I'll make sure that you're traveling in the right direction." Most of our choices, or all of our choices, we don't have GPS. I've never done too good with GPS. I've had it a little bit, and I'll tell you, you can't trust that little machine. It'll take you off all kinds of places. And the roads are there that aren't there on the GPS, and you look at the map and it says it's this, and it turns out it's not that. And if you really want to get lost, just trust your GPS. But there is a sure way that you can have sure direction, never misses at any time, and that is the direction that God gives you for your life. The choices that you are confronted with to make the right decisions. When you don't know what to do or which direction to go or what decision to make, God says, if you'll just commit yourselves into my hands, commit your way to my hand, He says, I will bring it to pass. In other words, He says, I will get you where you need to go. I will cause you to arrive at the destination that was intended for you to arrive at. That's His purpose, His plan for us. Psalm 27 or 37 and verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way." Now I want you to notice how He breaks it down here. He didn't say the trip is arranged by the Lord or the whole journey, even though it is, but He says we have to get it round down to the very basic. He said, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This means that He guides every step that you take in life. And if you put your trust in Him and commit your way to Him, He will guide you step by step by step to get you where you need to go. A lot of you are here today and your life is where it is today because your steps have been ordered by the Lord. Your steps have been ordered by the Lord. You didn't know where to go. You just kept following the leadership of the Lord step by step, and He's brought you to where you are now, and it will take you to where He wants you to be in days to come. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, very familiar. I think this is one of the first scriptures that people learn when they are trying to memorize scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Amen. Praise God. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to go, when you don't know which road to travel, He says, just trust Me with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge Me. He says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to direct your paths. I'm going to direct your path. Well, how do we get there, Pastor? By committing our ways into the hands of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. In Psalm 23, verse 3, from the famous 23rd Psalm, he just simply says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Just say to the person next to you, He leads me. Praise God. Isn't that a great comfort? To be able to express that, He leads me. Where does He lead you? He leads you in paths that are right. Paths that are right. So we commit our way to the Lord. And thirdly, we commit our works to the Lord. We commit our works to the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Amen. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. What he's saying here, we want to do things in our lives that really matter. We want to be successful in what we do. And the only way that that really can happen to the fullest degree is when we commit what we do fully to the Lord. Amen. Lord, I want to do something good. I want to be able to bring good into the arena that I have been asked to work in or have the privilege of working in. And I really want to be the best blessing that I can be in that area. Wherever God's placed you, wherever God's planted you, you want to be successful and you want to be a blessing and you want to excel in that area. And the only way that can happen is to commit the things you do to the Lord. Somebody here today probably needs to commit your job, the job that you're doing, to the Lord. You're not seeing the progress that you want to see. You've not seen the things happening that you want to see. And what he's saying today is just commit that work into the hands of the Lord. Lord, I give you this. I want you to do what you want to do through me. I want to happen in my work what you want to happen. I want to excel. I want to be successful. I want to be a blessing to those that are around. So, Lord, I commit my works into your hands. And when we commit our works to the hands, it's just like the little boy that had the loaves and the fish. And that was his lunch. I don't know who worked for his lunch, but somebody had to work for that lunch to pay for it. They either had to do the farming or had to do the fishing, one or the other, for him to have those loaves and fish. And he had gone out to see Jesus. And I thought it was very forward thinking for him to carry lunch with him. He was ahead of the rest of the crowd because the others didn't have their lunch. But he did. And he had in his hands the loaves and the fish. And when there was a need for food for everybody else, the disciples went on a food hunt and they found this little boy with the loaves and the fish. And the boy took it out of his hands and gave it to the disciples. And then they in turn placed it into Jesus' hands and he blessed it. And he began to break the bread and break the fish. And as he broke the bread and the fish, they multiplied. They multiplied. It just kept being more bread and more bread and more bread and more bread until and more fish and more fish and more fish until it fed many thousands of people. Praise God. So what it's saying is when you have something that you need to do for the Lord, something that involves even your secular work or some place that you've been planted to do a work, it says you need to put that into the hands of the Lord, because when you put it into the hands of the Lord, he blesses it. He multiplies it. He brings great blessings through you as you place it into the hands of the Lord. And then it says, it has to do with your thoughts. It says, and your thoughts will be established. And your thoughts will be established. The word thoughts here means your plan, your purpose. Your plan and your purpose will be established. In other words, you will have clarity. You will have an understanding of the direction you're to take and what your role is and what God is up to using you in the arena. The word established means to be set up, to be fixed, to be established, to be stable, to be secure, to be enduring, to be directed aright, to be steadfast. So he said that when you commit your work into the hands of the Lord, your thoughts, your purpose, your plans will be fixed, will be established, will be secure, will be stable, will be enduring, because you have placed your works into the hand of the Lord. I believe we're entering into an unprecedented season of blessing. I believe we're at the point we're going to see dreams begin to come true. We're going to see visions begin to be fulfilled. I believe we're at the point in this time we're going to see the kind of things happening that's beyond our imagination. And we need to understand and know that in this season that God will work through you and use you to be an instrument of blessing to many people. God wants to pour out his blessing. He wants to use you. He wants your life to count and make a difference. So say, Lord, I commit my works into your hands. Bless it, Lord. Bless it. Multiply it. Increase it. Let it be a place of overflow. Praise God. That's the reason it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So he said, whatever you're going to do, and you're going to ask the Lord to bless your works, said, don't just approach it lazily. Approach it with everything that you have. Says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Put your whole heart into it. Praise God. And it says, when you do, there's always going to be a blessing connected to it when you have put your whole heart into it. Praise God. And we end with this verse. We have great confidence that as we commit ourselves, commit our ways, and commit our works to the Lord, that those things are in good, protective hands. Paul expressed it this way when writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Praise God. That is one of the most reassuring scriptures that I think a person can read. It says, the things that you have placed into the hands of God. Paul says, I believe in the Lord. I know whom I have believed. And he said, since I know who I believe, then it's caused me to be persuaded. Persuaded. In other words, you couldn't bring him down from that place of being convinced of what he's about to say. He's saying that God is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day. That day refers to when he comes again. So he said, whatever you place into God's hand, you can be fully assured that it is secure, that it is being kept. You are being kept. Your works are being kept. Your ways are being kept. Everything is being kept safely and secure in the Father's hands. Praise God. Tell the person next to you, I'm persuaded too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, know that there's somebody here today that needs to come to the place that you place something into God's hand that you've been. That word place means to roll the burden onto, to roll the burden onto. And if you've been carrying something in your life that's been bigger than you are, that's been bringing you down, that has been an impossibility to you, that has been difficult, you've been dealing with issues in your life that you've had things come against you or people come against you, circumstances that come against you, and you come in here today pretty beaten down because of all of those things that you have been contending with. And that's the reason I know why the Lord spoke this, because he said, I want somebody in church on Sunday to place it all in my hands. I'm ready to take it, he says. I'm ready to take it. I'm ready to do with it what they can't do with it. I'm ready to handle what they can't handle. You've worried too long. You've been under the burden of it too long. You've been overwhelmed by it too long. It's time for you to say, Father, into your hands I commit. Father, into your hands I commit. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do today, everybody that has that And the reason we're going to do it this way, I think it's a statement of faith. If you just step out from where you are, and we're going to stand together down here, and we're going to commit things to the Father's hands. Can you really trust Him to take it?
Amen.
Yes. Are you willing to give it up to Him?
Amen.
Willing to give it up to Him?
Amen.
This is a powerful thing, because the Lord says that if you're willing to commit it, He's willing to receive it, to take it into His hand. So we're going to do this as a group today. We're going to lift our hands and we're going to say, Father, into your hands I commit. Father, into your hands I commit. Father, we just thank you now as people have surrendered whatever it is that they need to commit. Lord, you let me know that you're going to do it for people, that you are going to take it into your hands because they've committed it into your hands. Lord, you see our frame and our inability to bear the things that need to be borne. Lord, and we just know that there's going to be sweet release. There's sweet release for somebody today. They have confidence, Lord, that they place into your hand. They believe that you're able, that you are able, that you are able to do what needs to be done in order for it to be right, for it to happen, for it to take place the way it needs to take place. And we thank you today for each person, Lord, that is saying, Lord, I surrender this to you. I give it to you today. I roll it off onto you today. I'm placing it into your hands. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We know when it's in your hands, it's going to be right. We know it's going to be right, Lord, and we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information about the Glacier Valley Church of God, visit our website at glaciervalleycog.org. If you're in need of prayer, contact us, 789-3605.